Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, we are gathered here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We have the victory. We are in the winning team. This morning, we come to you and we surrender to your grace. We surrender to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We come to you, Father, and we ask you, Lord, let the anointing break the yoke in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise the Lord. Look at all the people. What are you doing here? You have come to the right place, and may you be encouraged this morning. We have just come through a wonderful week. We as pastors with Pastor Harold, we went away. Every year this time we go away and we get encouraged as a team. And I must tell you, the team here at Little Falls, the pastors, we are in unity. We are ready to tackle anything God will bring to us. Amen. I want to tell you and look at all the people. Last weekend, did we have some fun in the house? It is always wonderful to see the devil running. Amen. It is Prayer October, and it is time for us to once again take hands in the Spirit and use this month to take a strong stand in the land. Never in the history of this nation have there been so many churches and Christians praying for the nation. And it is wonderful, I want to tell you. So I'm excited, I am fired up, and I'm ready to preach. Okay, so today we have the race of grace. The race of grace. Let me read to you a scripture, just a scripture, but then I'll go to my main scripture. The one I want to read to you is Ecclesiastes 9, and verse 11 says the following: I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The kind of person God wants to walk with, the kind of person God wants to take hands with in this race of grace is the kind of person that would be weak, that would not be strong. It would be a person that would surrender to the plan of God for their lives. It would be a kind of person like us. That's why when Jesus came to the earth and he arrived during the time where he started his ministry, he arrived in Jerusalem, and the place where he started all over, it was a place where there were strong people. They were strong in their belief. They were so strong in their belief that they missed the Messiah. So the Lord did not come for a person that would be strong in himself, but that would be strong in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what this message is all about. All of us, we are in this race of grace. Now I want to take you to my scripture. Hebrews 12 from verse 1. If you have your Bibles with you, you might have it in paper form or silicone. Is that what the cell phone is made of? Please go to this scripture. It's a wonderful scripture for the day. Hebrews 12 from verse 1 I'm going to read. It says here, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run the race, or let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. I want to believe this morning that there are people here, that everyone here have started their journey in this race of grace. I want to believe this morning that every person here heard that when you started your race in the Lord, that Jesus is the person, you know, when you go and you go for that 100-meter dash, that there's a person standing with a gun. The gun is not aimed at you. The gun is aimed to make a noise. And suddenly, when that trigger is pulled, something happens. Those athletes jump into action and they give their best running towards the end, the finish line. I remembered when that happened to me. It happened about 27, 28 years ago in the tent, where that morning I was invited by my mother-in-law with my wife, my new wife, my only wife, to go to church. And the moment I walked into the tent, there was the presence of God. I did not know that morning that it was going to be the day that God would pull the trigger in my life. And the invitation came to join the race. And the moment I went on my knees, and it was the first time in many, many years that I actually had tears, I cried. There was something different about that day. The presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was so heavy upon me that I would have never put up my hand in a church in front of hundreds of people. And there, unashamedly, I put up my hand, because Jesus' hand was ready to pull the trigger on my life. And the moment I put up my hands and my spiritual hands, suddenly there went off that thing that started the race in my life. I wasn't prepared for what was about to happen in my life. The journey up to now has been a hard one. It has been a wonderful one. It has been full of grace. How many times I had to go on my knees and ask for the Lord's grace to help me through circumstances. But the race have started. How many people here this morning, you have started the race with God. I want to ask the church, where are you in your race today? Where are you? Some of you might have stopped running and you're standing dead still, too afraid to go on, because when you look back at yesterday, it's full of pain and hurt. And when you look to the front, you're too scared to go forward and you're standing still. Some of you might be taking a water break. Some of you might be taking a lunch break. Some of you might be in an ambulance on the way to the ICU unit at a hospital, because the race has taken its toll on you. So today, I want to ask you today, where are you in your race of grace? Many people, as they start their race, they forget that along the way, God is the one that gives grace so that his children might finish the race. He's not a God that pulls the trigger and leaves you on your own. He's got a wonderful plan with every person's life. So this morning, I'm going to be a little bit challenging. May I be in your race of grace? So you see, one thing about this race is that you need to be born again. Many people know about the person that pulls the trigger. But actually, the only way you can give that first meter into the race is to be born again. It's the only way. Knowledge about Jesus doesn't save any person. But it is when the surrender happens, when a person enters that race. And we see here, I just want to read this. This race consists of, I have identified four different aspects about the race. First of all, you have the cheering section, the pavilion section, the parts where people encourages you. You have the training section, and you have the running section, and at the end, you have the winning section. All right, so let me go to my scripture once again. It says here, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, there's a great cloud of witnesses looking at us to see how are we running this race that God has placed us in. You see, many people are just spectators in a pavilion. If I were to engage a spectator, I would ask the question, this person cheering me on, this person, there might be two kinds of person sitting there. It might be a person with an extra large Coke and a big packet of chips sitting there and just say, coming to have some fun. Coming into the pavilion and just would say, George, yes, go for it, go for it. And afterward, the person would leave. But the kind of person that would be cheering us on would be the person. I would be surprised. Imagine Usain Bolt would be sitting there. Now suddenly, that's the kind of person I would listen to. I would say, he knows what it is to be in a race. See, dear children of God, many people are just spectators when we are in the race of our lives. It is not an ordinary race. It is the race, the greatest thing that you can do is to continue running. The kind of people that this morning I want to show out, the kind of people that we need to look upon is people in the Word of God that have run their race and they have finished it. I want to read to you in the previous chapter, there's in Hebrews 11, there's a person by the name of Hebrews 11:4. It says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. Those witnesses that have run their races, they have done certain things that enabled them to finish. Many people, they run in a way that I wonder how on earth will you be able to finish your race when you run this way? And these are the witnesses that would encourage us today. Learn from them. See what they did right. Abel was one of them. He was in a race with his brother. But his brother ran a different kind of race, a selfish race. They had to bring to God offerings or sacrifices of their produce, of what they had in their lives, their sustenance. And when both of them presented to God their offering, God rejected Cain's offering. Cain got so upset that the only way he could get back to God was to kill his brother. What was so different about these two brothers? You see, Abel, this is the thing about the race we are in. Abel, what he brought to God wasn't just an offering, it was worship. Worship. So one of the important things in our lives, in this race of grace, is that we need to run as if we are worshiping God. Very important, because we could be religious, but not spiritual. When you're just religious, God does not honor that. Just knowledge about Him is not honored by God. But when a person brings everything you have to this race, God is the person that sees and knows what we are doing. I better run along. Cannot believe that it's already 1:45. The second person is Enoch. Enoch was taken out of the way, and he did not see death. When you run, because Enoch was a righteous man, when you run a righteous race, then God will rapture you out of your circumstances. That's what God did to this man. He literally took him out of the way. I can only imagine how his family was looking for him. But he was a different person. If you are righteous and you are running a hard race in the light of God, the Word of God, when trouble comes, God will rapture you like Enoch out of the way. Noah was another kind of man. Noah was divinely warned by God, and he took the Lord's warnings serious. It said here, by faith, Noah divinely warned of things that he had not seen, nobody had seen, but he was moved with godly fear. In this race to finish, we need godly fear upon our lives. We need to run in such a way that the fear of God would take you. You see, the fear of God is the one thing that takes you always out of the way of trouble. We need godly fear. Abraham stood out, for he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Same as his wife, Sarah. Sarah, it says here, by faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah believed God, the same as a husband. Can you imagine if we have a 100-year-old or 89-year-old lady walking here pregnant? That would be scary. You understand? So this was the promises of God. God does not look at your body. He does not look at your circumstances. He does not look where you are. He looks where He wants to take you to. And the place He wants to take you to will always be a place, a pregnant place, a place full of God's promises. Please be careful. Don't everybody go and get pregnant now. But may the promises of God fill you up. Praise the Lord. I have to hurry along. Now I want to quickly go to the second portion about this race. And it is two things that we need to do if we consider this race. Because it says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily, so maklik, how easily. Today I'm on fire for the Lord. Tomorrow I'm flat down on the ground. Something has happened and I'm out of the race. I want to talk about these things. First of all, in the physical dimension, weight plays an important role in running a race. You need to lose some weight. But you cannot lose weight if you're not in the race. You need to do something physical. Amen. You need to do some push-ups, sit-ups, go for a stroll, do something. But a physical weight here in our spiritual lives are things reckoned that slows us down to a standstill. And I have identified some stuff that really takes the wind out of your sails. And it could be, you know, usually it is something good that is a weight, but something that is good that is out of control. It could be something like food. It could really be something like food. Do you know that food for some people are like a god? If they see something, they have to eat it. I was like that. Quite enjoy food. Do you know that rest, to have always the mentality of rest, I've got to go on holiday, I've got to rest tonight. Rest could be a weight. That's why we never do something for God, because I'm too tired. But you know, actually, let's not use the word tired. I have to identify if I'm not too lazy. Oh, sorry, I did not say that. And another thing, hobbies. Hobbies are things that could be a weight on you. Instead of becoming part of what the church does, the movement that God has planned through His churches, becoming part of that, when people have spare time, they do a hobby. You know, I always talk about that thing, that hitting that ball. Many people have hobbies that keep them totally away from God, from the plans of God, from the things of God. I remembered coming to ministry, I really started hitting that ball nicely. If I wanted it there by Donnie, I would hit it there. But then suddenly, I found that there's a calling for my time, a calling for time to pray, to go to church, to go to home cell, to go on an outreach. But I've got this hobby. I just now bought this golf set of 20,000 rand. What must I do with it? You know what to do with it. Bring it to me. And you know what? A family is a good thing. I know what to do with golf sets. There's some wonderful things you can do. Do you know that some people, the weight they put on themselves, that they will put their family and children first before God? How many times have children become parents' God? That it's everything about little Yanni and Sonny. I've got to get them here and there and everywhere. They control my life. They take charge of what, where I go. And stop that. Anything that takes place in the place of God is an idol. Many times our parents, my pa het gesê, no, it's what Father God says that is important. You need to stand up for what God wants in your life and start identifying the things that controls you. God will not allow anything to take His place. Amen. There are many things I actually have here that could take the place of where God wants you to be. We need to identify the things in our lives. You know what Abraham did? Abraham built an altar. Abraham built a wonderful altar. Can you imagine God telling you, take this favorite son of yours, your only son, and put him on the altar? But then the surprise, you kill it. That's the thing God wants of us. We need to kill the things. Don't go and kill your sons or daughters. Please don't do that. But you are the person that need to stand with a knife cutting the throat of where God wants to advance you to. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God tested Abraham. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Do you know a child should go to church? A child should be taught how to read the Bible. A child should be in church. My little two daughters, they had no choice on this planet where they would find themselves on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. In church, it's the only place for them. They knew what the underside of a seat looked like. That's the square meter your parents gives you to spend time this time. Amen. Never let anything take you away from that. You should control what your children eat, watch. And please, parents, please control them in shopping centers. It's the worst thing to see those children screaming, halachat mal. And you know, that's not the part. I understand a 2-year-old. What I don't understand is appearance standing there. That I find difficult. So please, parents, take charge of the things that is important to God in this race of grace. And then it says, here's an interesting one. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. Now it's going to get interesting in this place. Do you know that for every person here, there is a specific sin, the one that stays with you. In my life, you can let me go and sleep next to a mountain of cocaine or alcohol or something like that. I could go and sleep next to that mountain. It would not affect me one bit. But man, oh man, let me go and sleep next to a little plate of Koeksisters. I will fail the test miserably. I will eat. If you put a mountain there, I'll eat the mountain. For every one of us, there is something that holds us back. And every person here has that something. That's the thing you need to identify in your life to be able to move forward and run the race with grace. What is that one thing that holds you back? You see, many times, and I have been there, where I would say, you know what? In this race of mine, I don't smoke, I don't drink. Look at me, I don't gossip. Look at me. But man, oh man, let me tell you about that one thing that I do. That's the problem area. That is the one thing that keeps us from going forward. And the Lord wants us. You see, we as children of God, that's the one area in our lives that keeps us back to move forward to the things God have planned for us. We need to deal with that today, not tomorrow. Amen. So let us lay aside the thing that ensnares us, the things that holds us back. And there's a thing, Pastor Jock, actually, now on the pastor's retreat, he spoke about something, and that I wanted to bring in this morning. He spoke about someone, might be in the church, I don't know where, had a snake. And this snake, it grew up to the point where the snake acted funny, you know? And they took it to the vet, and the vet said to the people, there's something wrong with the snake. It is acting funny. And the veterinarian said, it's not acting funny. It is preparing itself. It is starving itself for a big lunch. Now, can you imagine? That's what sin does. That's what the devil does. If we don't kill that one thing, it's going to eat you up. It's going to strangle you. It's going to hold you back. Nothing against the snake, Pastor Tiens. This pet snake. But you know, now I want to come in for a finish. And I need to run the race. It says here, let us run with endurance. It's time to get, some people are mistaking training for running. You see, training is something you do prior to running. Many people are standing dead still and they're still training. If there's a course in the church, let's run to the course. There's another something here, let's run. Let's get more training. But they never get to the part of actually running. How to lead someone to Christ. How to be a cell leader. Do you know that we as a church need, in January, 200 new cell leaders? And guess where they are coming from? There's nobody behind me. Everybody's here in front of us. God is inviting His people to get into the race of grace because people are standing and training. You will train your whole life, but the race is forward. Praise the Lord. And now, how to win a race? How to win your race? There's one thing you must do if you want to win a race. You've got to look unto Jesus, the perfecter. and the finisher of your race. You see, Jesus is the finish line. So many people get tired. They ask the Lord, take me out. I don't want to run anymore. It's so hard. It's difficult. It becomes like that when you've taken your eyes off Jesus Christ, because He's running the race next to us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we need to, if you run this race of grace, the one thing that an athlete never do is to look backward. So many people look back at yesterday's mistakes and failures and the hurts and the pain and the suffering. You see, Jesus will always be in front of you. You need to look at Him. He is the hope for the future. He's the hope for that last day that will come to my life as well. James 1:12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown. There is an eternal crown waiting for you. There is a prize at the end of all of this. And that prize, God wants to surprise His children. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. You need some wings. You need a Red Bull. Matthew 24:13 says, but one who stands firm to the end is the one. To the end, people. It is time to put our hands on the plow. It is time to really grip onto what God wants to do in our lives. You see, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, to finish off, I want to tell you a little story. There was a lot of schools that came together. And in those schools, they had a running event, 1,500 meters. And you could see the athletes, how they stood ready. They had their khakis, they had their short pants and their t-shirts and whatever they needed to run this race. But suddenly there came and stood at the line a boy. He had tennis shoes on. He had a cut-off pair of jeans and a shirt that doesn't fit running. So they started the race. And quickly, those athletes that were trained finished the race. And at the end of the race, suddenly, lastly, finally, this other boy arrived through, tired, falling apart. And the coach of this athlete who won went to this boy and said, what are you doing? And the boy said, listen, my coach asked me to do two things today because there were no other boys partaking in this race. He asked me to start the race, and he asked me to do my best and finish. And the boy said, I think I've done that today. God is asking His children today, do not stop. Do not stop. Do your best, and you will finish as Jesus Christ is hooked in with you. Amen. Please stand. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we praise Your holy name in this place. We thank You, Father. We bless Your holy name. Oh God, Lord, many of us standing here right now, we have come to a place where it is difficult in this journey and on this journey. Father, I ask You today to impart grace to the hearers. Father, to take Your children and encourage them today to go forward and run a powerful race, because this race is a personal race. It is my race, and I will finish it so as the people standing in front of me. I thank You today, Father, that You send Your people out, that You bless them and keep them, and make your face to shine upon them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.